It's Friday. That can only mean one thing. Kyla Cobbler. And Kyla Cobbler's not a cake. She's a comedian.
I'm a comedian.
How are you? Put a pep in our step, it says here.
Yes.
How was your... You were at the Ivy Gardens last night.
At the Ivy Gardens last night.
How was your gig?
Very well, thank God. I was hosting the Bleeding Massive Tent and there was Simon Bodkin and Deirdre O'Kane and Neil Delamere. So I was very nervous because these are people I look up to.
Of course. And when you say hosting, you introducing them?
I was emceeing. So off the top, I do a little bit of riff-raff and then try and make everyone laugh and set up the room, set the vibe and then bring out the comics.
And how was the weather and stuff? All good?
Well, the weather was great, Brendan.
Well, I always think if it rains in the Ivy Gardens, you just...
No, it's big tent-like.
Oh, it's grand.
Yeah, big tent. Yeah.
Sure, I'm all about it. I'm all about it. Yeah. Just reading my notes now.
Tell me, how's the weather? I've been here for days.
You see, this is your schlep now. I'm feeding you. So, from Ballincollig to Barcelona.
I know.
People say that a lot, right?
Yeah, Ballincollig to Barcelona. It's a natural progression.
Yeah. So give me a brief history and time of your existence.
So left school, didn't do well in the leaving cert. Was like,
did you not?
No, can you believe that?
No, I find that possible.
I didn't do well in the leaving cert. Well, I did okay. I passed it, like, so whatever. And then 250 points. Who's this? And then I was like, right, I'm going to get out of here. It was during the crisis, the financial crisis. So everyone was leaving. So it's like,
so many years ago? 14 years?
14 years.
Wow, okay. Where'd you go?
Mental. I went to Australia and then I was travelling around the circus and I met an Italian man. And
don't gloss over the travelling around with the circus.
Travelling around the Marys. It wasn't a circus, it was a Marys. The Brisbane show.
What was that?
It was unbelievable.
What did you do?
I used to have a game with all these plastic fish and there was numbers on their bellies and you'd have to pay and then you get a prize. It was like a children's game. For sure, I used to fleece them. I was brilliant. Fleece the children. Give me your confirmation money.
That's a t-shirt right there.
Fleece the children.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear my accent? Yeah, give me your money. But no, we don't approve of that. No, that's terrible.
No,
so you were travelling with the circus, basically.
Basically, yeah. And I did that for a while. And then I met an Italian gentleman and he was, oh my gosh, he was so gorgeous. And when you don't speak the same language, you just think someone's amazing. You're like, wow, you're so misunderstood.
Yeah.
It turns out it's not. You just can't understand each other.
Yeah. So you moved to Italy.
Moved to Italy, did loads of years there and then got to like age 29 and I was like, okay, I need to learn another language because I knew it was before AI. So I was like, if I learn another language, I'll have two languages on my belt and I can go and work in Apple like everyone else in Cork. I can go work in Apple. That's all I'll do.
So what you just threw the AI thing in there. Has that killed our need to learn languages now, do you think?
No, I don't think it killed our need, but it probably is going to affect people who do translation.
Oh, wow.
I would assume. I mean, that's just
every day I'm hearing these little spittles being knocked over.
Right, though? If you think about it. Thank God I got into comedy.
Thank God you got into comedy.
Because that really is probably the only thing that AI can do.
Not even for me alone. Thank God you get into comedy.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. I follow you.
Thank you.
We've never met before.
Never met.
And I know the very workings of your inner life.
I know, mad, isn't
you
it?
You share everything.
I know, you gave me such a lovely embracing hug and I was like, wow, we're friends.
Was it a bit creepy? Or was
not
it
even the slightest creepy. Oh my God, not even the slightest bit creepy.
Because I really feel like I know you. That's the power of Instagram.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise you're 500,000 followers.
I know.
So that's organic.
That's organic.
How did you do that?
That honestly, asking for a friend. I think I got in the right time as well because I just kept, when I started posting, there was no reels. Reels didn't exist.
Oh yeah.
It was just photographs, do you remember?
And I love your timeline.
I know.
There was no such thing as reels.
Back in my day, we didn't even have phones. And I just started doing stories and then character work. And then, I mean, it just really genuinely just was so organic. And then I reckon, you hit 10K and that's hard to get to. And then when you get over the 100K, I reckon it's just like when you see someone queuing and then you queue.
Okay.
Because now when I put up a reel, like, I wish there was like some strategy. I honestly just think because there's a lot of people there, a lot of people arrive as well. Yeah. I like that is just. And then like Bill Burr has shared my work and like Whitney Cummins and like these big comedians. So like obviously then.
And so for one to get it right now, not in any way be clumsy. Now, what's interesting for me is you toured with the circus, you lived in Italy, you now live in Barcelona.
Yeah.
You come back and you host a comedy tent here. Like it's flying for you internationally.
Yeah,
that's the power of the internet, right?
That is the power of the internet. Like, absolutely.
It's mega. It's a really brilliant.
Absolutely. It's currency.
For me, what I love is your take on Irishness.
Yeah.
Like, and it's because you have something to compare it to, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And the big moment for me was the wink. Right?
Yeah.
So describe that to people who haven't seen
wink. So I did a reel called The Unspoken Power of the Irish Wink. And I swear to God, you would spend time like trying to curate and think of funny things because reels are very different to stand up because it has to be quick. It has to be like, you can't be longer than a minute, in my opinion. First 30 seconds has to be the joke. And I was in work and I did that. I winked at someone. I did the Irish wink and someone was like, that's hilarious. And I was like, it's so Irish. And it just basically is like, I think I always say I think it comes from prayer, because like we'll say all the right things, but then at the end of the day, like, you know, just do whatever you want. Like, yeah. Actually, look, we'll say sorry, but then we'll do it again a million times over. So yeah.
Sorry about
and
that.
And I did, So I made a few examples of it, and 7 million views.
Wow.
7 million likes, I think.
Wow.
Like it was. I mean, like, I can't even comprehend that.
And so you actually, do you build that into your stand-up? Because I haven't seen your stand-up yet, which I can't wait to see.
No, I have never. No.
You don't. Do you build any of the Irishisms in, or the difference between
I do. Oh, no, definitely. Yeah. Oh, especially my first show, Gone Rogue, I've done a load of, because I obviously living in like Spain, and there'll be loads of Latino men and like the dancing and just like, oh, that just, you'd be allergic. Like, you're just like, oh, please.
Why would you be allergic?
So I can't do those dances. And they just, that's their like ritual of like mating. That's like how they do it. Like they can't, like my Spanish friends are like, but Kayla, if you don't dance together, how do you know if you have a connection? And I'm like, whiskey, you can connect with everyone with whiskey. It's madness, honestly. It's
part of sacrilege in their I suppose culture not to dance.
Yeah, they just,
and they're
can't.
So good at it.
They're so rhythmic, like everything. They just dance around, like, and I just come in, like, and then I go in, like, I'm the tallest woman in the world in those places. Like, we go to like these dance halls with my Spanish friends, and I look like I'm on stilts. I look like I'm there to like entertain the children. Like, I just look mental, and I'm like, oh my God, get me out of here.
What's the funniest thing about Irish people that we all do that shocks international people, do you think?
I think it's just the carry on, like.
Oh, do you think the crack?
Yeah, just the crack, and like the carry on, like, because we're just awful liars, like. We're just awful, like, not liars in the sense of actually not truth tellers, but like the carry on, like the wink, the like, aye, aye, you will, like, not saying what we mean.
I've been burnt by it over the years. When an Irish person meets you on holiday and they've had a few drinks, they say, come visit. They don't mean it.
They don't mean anything.
They don't mean
There's
anything.
Nothing.
And I've had people turn up at my door going, hey, how you doing?
And you're mortified. You're like, what are you doing here? How inappropriate are you? I invited you once. That means you're not welcome here. That's what that means. Learn the Irish ways.
And then people say that Irish people are really friendly. I'm like, they're not. They're really nosy.
Where are you from? We're lovely and we're well able to sit at the table.
Yeah.
We'll be very fast getting up. I didn't realise much the Irish goodbye actually affects. I am the biggest Irish goodbye person. I'm like, I will not say goodbye.
You know
goodbye.
What? That wasn't, when I was in my early 20s, that wasn't even a phrase.
That's
but people
mad.
Did it, right? And when someone named it, it became a real thing,
yeah,
right?
It's such a thing.
You go, oh, well, that's, I own that. So I'm just going to leave
Irish
now
goodbye.
And be really rude.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not even rude, but like when I lived in Italy, oh my God, they spend, Brendan, you'd like hours saying goodbye, kissing each other, hugging each other, and I'm like, I just want to leave. Like, I just can't. My social battery's done. I can't deal with this anymore. And they're always kissing you and then touching your back, and you're bloated from dinner. You're like, stop touching my back. Don't touch my back. I'm bloated from your pasta. Like, it's just, yeah. It's absolutely, it's class.
So you're in Barcelona for a number of years, but you're going to now. You're heading to London.
I'm going to London.
You're going to do it.
I'm going to do it, Brendan. This has only just been decided.
Oh, recently?
Yeah, like yesterday. We were like, all right, let's go. Like, me and my partner, Simon, were in Slough after one of my tours only like last week. I was like, let's go to Slough. We just drove up and we got one of those little mattresses on a catamaran.
Lovely.
And I was like, I think I'm done with Barcelona, babe. And he's like, yes, we can go wherever you want. He's South African. Yes, my love. You tell me and I will follow you. He's so sweet. So I was like, let's go to London because it's ambitious, right? Like, I know everyone's like Barcelona sunshine, but like, I got two shows out of Barcelona, my soulmate, some best friends. Like, I cannot take any more from that city. Like, it's just not inspiring me anymore. So
yeah.
I'm like, I just enjoy what I miss as well. Like, I love Barcelona, but there's no theatre, there's no shows, there's no art. Like,
is it not?
Not really. Not like London.
Yeah.
You know, like, I love musicals. Like, I love a night out with a musical or like just live music concerts. Like, Barcelona is just not.
I feel London or New York or even Paris are one of the three.
Paris.
You have to do them when you're young.
Yeah.
Go and experience that.
Yeah.
But right now for you, the timing's right, isn't it?
The timing is so right. So for
when
my
did
career.
You? When did you quit? And go full time at comedy, or did you quit something to go full time comedy? Or have you always?
No, I've only started comedy. Like, I never. If you had said to me 5 years ago you're going to be a comedian, I'm like, you're lost. Like, you're actually lost. You've taken a wrong turn there somewhere and arrived at my door, but you're not welcome here. The invite wasn't real. I cannot believe, I never thought I'd be a comedian. So I was always a bartender. I worked in hospitality and I loved it. I loved being a bartender. I loved
You were just
crack.
Always the funny Irish girl.
Yeah, always. And okay. I'm a great bartender. Not like bartenders like, oh, it's 10 euro and your cocktail's on fire and it's gluten free. Not that bartender. Like a proper, like, get out of my pub, that bartender. I can man the fort. I can shut the doors. Clean your vomit. Get out. Let's go. I'm that kind of bartender. I'll light your wife when she's ringing. It was that. Those were my days.
Is he there?
No, I haven't seen him. I hadn't a clue where he is. And I was bartending, and then I was working. So my last job before I left, I was working in a coffee shop. So I kind of said goodbye because I'd worked in an Irish pub in Barcelona during the pandemic, and it was hectic because of like the rules and everything. So I was a bit stressed. So I was like, I'm going to get a job. My friends opened a coffee shop. My two lads I used to be buddies with. I am buddies with. So I was working in this coffee shop, and then I started doing comedy, like live stuff. And I started taking off, and I went down from, I used to work like 6 days a week down to 5 days a week, and then 3 days a week.
Wow. And gently, then you did it gently.
I did it very, because I was terrified.
Yeah, of course.
It's terrifying. Like, this is what people, like, I was so used to getting my 1200 euro a month. Like, yeah, that was kind of weird. 1200 euro a month, and 600 went on rent, and then I'd have my monies, then yeah, I'd have my bits, and yeah, that was it. So the idea of going out and being an artist, or even calling myself an artist, notions, like, yeah, that's so hard, I think, as an Irish person as well, to be yeah, like, and this is the part of my creative process. Like, I can't, like, my manager would be like, why can't you just say it? I'm like, no, I'd be mortified. I can't, you know. So I just took a while. And then my mom actually was really cute. After the Ivy Gardens, one time, she's from Belfast, but we live in Cork, and she drove up to collect me. So I was going home, and she got me a little card with a duck jumping into a pond, and it was like, time to take a leap of faith.
Oh.
I know. And she's like, just do it. She's like, you're great, making money already. Like, I was making good money, and I was like, no. And then I was like,
okay, do it.
I'm going to do it. And then I was terrified. And even now, when I see an empty month next year, I'm yeah, like, but I'm never going to work again.
You have a great comedy name.
Kyla Cobbler.
You just don't forget that name.
Kyla Cobbler. Don't forget it.
And you won't forget it.
You won't forget
so
it.
So are you finished for the weekend? Are you another show this week?
No, I have loads of shows.
Go on, tell us what's happening.
So tonight I'm hosting the Crack Den at 7:30 in the Ivy Gardens Crack Den tent. And then tomorrow I'm hosting the 7:30, and then I'm headlining the Bleeding Massive Tent, which is huge.
Amazing.
Yeah, huge. Okay. That'll be a good big moment for me.
Well, have a great show.
Thanks, Ben.
Weekend and have a great time. And you're Kyla Cobbler on Instagram. You can't miss her. She's the biggest Kyla Cobbler online.
The biggest Kyla Cobbler.
Listen, an absolute charm. And break a leg with everything.
Thank you. I wish you'd look. Thank you, me too.
And when you're in Hollywood, give us a call, won't you?
I will. 100%.
Happy Friday. Let's take a break.